In a recent survey of 1,200 left-of-center American adults, 55% responded that assassinating Donald Trump could be justified. We're swimming in shark-infested cultural waters. Some are suffering from Christianophobia. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. Please give today to help AFA keep equipping you and others to stand for Christ. Help us shine His light into our dark culture. Visit afa.net/warrior.
It's First Time Caller Day on Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
It is First Time Callers, so start lining up, folks. If you've never been on the show with us, today could be your day.
So First Time Callers only today. Now we're going to ask three questions each.
The quack of a duck does not produce an echo. Is that true or false?
That falls under the category of it's just wrong. Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening, and we are live here today. Beats the alternative, doesn't it? Being live. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
J.J. Jasper just returned home from Africa.
I was in Africa last week, and it's great to be home. Dorothy was right. Hey, when I was younger, years and years ago, I thought that rich people listened to Bose and all the rest of us listened to Sony. Now, looking back, I think that was just stereotypes.
That's a new one.
Stereotypes.
That's a new one. That's a dad joke I haven't heard before. That was good. That's clever.
Welcome home.
Thank you. What a blessing. Yeah, it was amazing.
Now, by the way, the number, it is First Time Callers. The number to call, if you've never been on the program with us.
First Time Callers only.
First Time Callers, you have a shot. And here's how you get on, by calling this number, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. You have to be 11 years old or older.
Yeah.
But other than that, first-timers, call
and
in.
And, JJ, what happens if folks answer the mystery question correctly?
If you land on the mystery question, answer it correctly. Now, you don't know which one it is, but it's going to be one of these original nine questions. If you land on the mystery question, answer it correctly, you're going to hear this sound. Ah, the beloved cowbell. And if you listen closely, that sounds a little bit like Swahili, not just American cowbell. And you're going to win a really nice AFR ball cap.
Yeah, so, but now if they, you said they don't know what the mystery question is, right?
Right.
They don't.
They don't know which one of these, but it's going to be one of these original nine questions.
Right. We know.
But now but if they know. They got a gift of some
kind. Oh, yes, yeah.
They got a gift, you know what
I'm
saying?
If
they knew which one was a mystery question.
Yeah.
Am I right? They would have a special talent.
They would have some kind of a talent. Yeah. I don't know where it would come from.
Call it clairvoyant.
Yeah.
Or Kreskin says you can have talent like that.
It's just that kind of extra sympathetic perception.
I think it's sensory. Yeah. But anyway,
it's a little bit of a joke there. But.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, yeah.
I get it. All right. So people are welcome to call and get lined up to be on the radio and ask a trivia question or answer, or we prefer you to do both. This is Trivia Friday, but we also call this
Learning University
right here on American Family Radio. So, Ed, go ahead with your question.
All right. Here are my three questions. The famous 1932 movie The Mummy, starring Boris Karloff, was inspired by the opening of the tomb of what Egyptian pharaoh? The famous 1932 movie The Mummy, starring Boris Karloff, was inspired by the opening of the tomb of what Egyptian pharaoh?
Not just any pharaoh.
No, not just any pharaoh.
There's a special pharaoh.
Special
pharaoh. Little did
like
he know.
Like Special K.
Yeah.
Second question, another little trip down memory lane. The famous vampire novel Dracula was written in 1897. I looked this up. I didn't realize it was this old. Who wrote it? Who wrote the novel Dracula?
You know what that is? That's a deep dive into literature.
Literature.
Am I right?
Now, literature.
I'm more wondering about this penchant for mummies and vampires. Right. And what kind of pizzas have you been eating?
Right. We're not even near Halloween. Right.
I don't know why, but I didn't sleep too good last night.
Well, I can tell you why.
All right, third question.
If vampires don't scare me anymore.
They don't?
Nah, I
why?
I moved on.
You moved on from vampires?
Past vampires, yeah, they don't.
Did they scare you when you were a kid?
I don't even budge when I see them on TV anymore.
Did they used to scare you when you were a kid?
When I was nine.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then you start adulting, and then you get terrified about IRS auditors.
who also suck your blood until you got nothing left.
Bada boom.
All right, third question. If you engage in sternutation,
come on.
What are you doing? If you engage in sternutation, what are you doing? And we've all done it.
And is there a support group? Is there a 12-step program
You do that too much, you go to the hospital. So
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah, you could.
Sternutation.
Am I up? Sternutation. My turn?
Yeah, your turn.
Here's what I've got. First question. In which city will you find the Liberty Bell? Mm-hmm. In which city will you find the Liberty Bell? Second question, Bible question. What are the names of Joseph's two sons? Joseph, who, you know, was sold as a slave, he was in the prison, became second to Pharaoh, that Joseph. What are the names of Joseph's two sons? Third question, true or false? In 2018, Judge Judy was the highest paid TV host. Is that true?
In what year?
Or false? 2018. In 2018, Judge Judy was the highest paid TV host.
Why do I want to say Judy?
True
Judy,
or false?
Judy.
You can say that.
Judy, Judy,
Judy. Judy, Judy, Judy.
All right, here are my three questions. Number one, after dogs and cats, what is the third most popular pet category in the U.S.? We Americans, after dogs and cats, 65 million households have dogs.
It's all about guinea pigs.
40. Good guess.
Oh, don't say that. I was just blurting that out.
Good guess, but anyway, after dogs and cats, what is the third most popular pet in the U.S.? And it's kind of a category, okay? Number two, sticking along the lines of one, two, three here. Okay, so among Americans, the top four top four meats are obvious. Most popular.
Yeah.
Most consumed. Chicken, beef, pork, and fish. I mean, you get those four, that's 99%
right.
But what is the fifth most consumed meat?
Oh.
After chicken, beef, pork, and fish, and then what's number five?
Things like JJ.
I'm gonna write it down right here.
I would blurt out a couple of things, but I might be right.
Here.
All right, and here's my third question.
Right here, that's what I got.
Okay. It is summertime in America, right?
And winter.
It sure is.
And Africa.
It's winter in Africa?
Winter. Yeah, it's the last
week. Glad I'm not there.
Upper 50s. Upper 30s, yeah. Low 40s at night.
Winter in Africa. It's summertime here in the good old U.S. of A.
Yep.
And I want to know what major city, this isn't an obscure place, okay, what major city has the highest average temperature in the U.S. during the summer?
Here in the U.S.?
In the United States, what major city has the highest average temperature?
That's a good question.
In the summertime.
Well, it's not really the heat. If it's a dry heat, so we need to factor that in when we try to come up with the right answer.
Yeah, the dry heat, like an oven.
It's a dry heat, an oven. Isn't that what they always tell us?
Yeah. Yep. Are we ready to go here?
We're ready.
Let's do it.
Let's rock and roll.
All right. Hey, guess what? We're going to Washington State.
That's
what
we're talking about.
That's right. And looks like Carolus. First of all, welcome to the program. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Hello, sir. I think it's Carlos.
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 Okay.
So that's a big difference right there.
Yeah.
You just
I'm not gonna throw our call screener under the bus.
It says Carlos.
No, I believe it was my fault.
She just changed it. I mean, or it could be a he. I don't know. I'm not giving out a name.
Let's restore some dignity to this show.
Carlos, sorry about that. All right.
No worries, gentlemen.
Welcome to the program.
Tell us where you live there, Carlos.
I live in a small town, Steilacoom. You may have heard of it. So my wife called a few months ago.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
It's just south of Tacoma.
Okay. Yeah, one of my son-in-laws grew up in Tacoma.
Oh.
Yeah, good area there.
One of our radio stations, first radio stations we ever put on the AFR network, was Sunnyside.
That's right.
Sunnyside, Washington. But that's not near you. That's on the other side of the state, right?
I believe so, sir. Yeah. I'm not from here. I'm stationed at Fort Lewis, known as JBLM.
Thank you for your service.
All right, Carlos, ask, answer, or both? What do you want to do here?
I'm going to do both.
Okay.
I'd like to go with, I'm liking Tim's questions, but I'm going to have to answer the biblical question, Joseph's two sons.
Good. Great way to start us out there, Carlos. Here's the question. What are the names of Joseph's two sons?
And that would be Ephraim and Manasseh.
Nicely done.
All right.
Nicely done.
Is that how we get like the town in Virginia, Manassas? Is that where that comes from? Is that a biblical name?
I don't know.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. But it's nice. It's pretty interesting how Jacob acknowledged them as tribes and took those children on as his own children. A whole lot of wonderful.
How'd you know that, Carlos?
There.
Well, I'm just reading through the Bible. I try to go through it every year. It doesn't always happen. But I just finished Deuteronomy, and I'm in Joseph, and talking about this division of the tribes, and that's the tribe that was split, Joseph.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when Jacob, when he was giving out his blessings, if you think about it, then Joseph said, here's my sons, and he crossed his hands. No, you're putting your hand on the wrong one. And Jacob might have been remembering back when he and his mom conspired to trick his dad.
Yeah.
But that's a whole lot in those
So
stories.
You're reading through the Bible every year?
It doesn't happen all every year, but yes, I try. Yeah. I read through it.
Why not, Carlos? Why not? what's the problem? Why can't we get through the Bible once a year?
Oh, my goodness, Carlos.
Well,
you don't have to answer that.
I guess the bottom line is sin.
Yeah.
My sin.
We make time for what we want to do.
Oh, my
Carlos,
word.
I'm
just here as an encourager.
Carlos, Tim is a coach at heart. So that whole thing about no excuses and, you know.
It says the man who gives up March 22nd and trying to get through the Bible in a year. It's hard to do.
Hey, seriously, good word. For you getting in the Word, allowing the Word to get in
the
you.
The important thing is to read the Bible every day.
Amen. Yes.
A chapter, two chapters, whatever.
Right. Yes.
Whether you get through it in a year or not, I don't know.
Food. It's
all right. Well, go ahead, Carlos. Fire away.
All right. I know tariff talks might be coming up. I've been a long-time listener, and I heard they're coming up. So the question is in regards to that.
Okay.
So
bring you some tariff
the force
talk.
Of a, yeah, I hope to hear it Monday. I can't wait to hear the great good news. The force of a man's slap is, and here's your options, 5,000 foot-pounds, 18,000 foot-pounds, or 25,000 foot-pounds.
A man's slap?
Yeah.
Wow.
So when Trump is slapping a tariff, do you think it would be equate to 5,000, 18,000, or 25,000 foot-pounds?
Why do I think about the Three Stooges?
I can tell
when
you
I, when I think about slapping around.
Was it
Curly that knows it?
Well, and if he's got an additional question about poking somebody in the eye,
yes,
you know, he'd be right there tracking.
Carlos, do you know who the Three Stooges are? You're probably a younger fella. Do you know who they
are? I am. I am not younger. I do know who they are.
Okay.
But you're asking if a average man slaps.
They do those things. You ever see them where they have those slapping contests?
I know there's some
it's
fried
crazy.
Chicken makes you want to slap your mama. That's what they advertise.
We got a guess here. I'm going to go with the low number, 5,000 or whatever it was.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 18,000 just to be different. I have zero idea, though.
18,000 what?
Like foot
pounds.
Pounds.
Of,
foot pound.
That's what he's measuring it on.
I'm not even pretending to know what Carlos is talking about. I guess it's a way of measuring
the velocity,
and impact. I don't know.
So it's geometry, what we're talking about here, I think. All right, Carlos, I don't know. What's the answer?
Well, according to A Plus Physics, it's 18,439
foot-pounds. Oh, wow. Just a guess.
Well, yeah. That's enough to bruise your cheek right there.
No, nothing happens by accident, Ed.
Is that right?
You got it right because you're living a blessed life.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That's later on in the show when I get it wrong. But I'm going to be an indication of what. Life.
Carlos.
All right. Thank you, Brother Carlos.
You did us proud coming right out of the chute as the first one on. And
Where do we get that right out of the chute, JJ?
Thank you for serving our country, too, Carlos.
Is that rodeo stuff?
I think it's rodeo stuff.
Right out of the chute?
Maybe even like a Kentucky Derby or something. Because they're
right out of the chute. They have a chute?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the chute's open.
I got you.
Okay.
You're listening to Trivia Friday on AFR. Tim, Ed, and JJ. Go ahead, Ed. Who's next?
All right. We're going to Tennessee now, and Johnny is on the line. Johnny, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, thank you, and good to be on the program with you, esteemed professors.
Well, Johnny,
thank
listen,
you for
we try to,
us.
Yes, sir.
We try to stay humble.
Johnny, thank you for your honesty. Where in Tennessee?
I live outside of Brownsville, about a third away between Memphis and Nashville.
Okay. Hey, you want to ask, answer, or do both, sir?
I want to give a shot at both of them.
All right, which one you feel confident about?
Well, there's a couple of them. I think I'll go with the Liberty Bell question.
Here's the question.
The drama bills.
In which city will you find the Liberty Bell?
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
What about that?
If you had missed that, we're going to ship you to Europe there, Johnny.
I don't think everybody knows that.
Yeah, I know.
He said he was torn.
I was torn between that and the Pharaoh question, and I figured the Liberty Bell might have a better chance of winning the hat.
Well, you were right.
You sure were.
The AFR ball cap, which I'm holding up for those watching on the internet, YouTube, or our own streaming service or Facebook. I'm holding it up. We'll send you the ball cap. And, Johnny, very good. Yes, the Liberty Bell. And, JJ, your family went and visited that.
2 years ago, we saw it. It was a real honor. And, Johnny, you sound like a guy that might wear a ball cap. So you're going to love this AFR cap.
Well, thank you.
Johnny, fire away, man. What do you got for us?
All right. Last week, later in the show, a caller had a question about a hurdy-gurdy. Can you name a movie, a famous movie, that the hurdy-gurdy was played in and the name of the actor that played it?
All right, hold on just a minute. Hurdy-gurdy, that's not like an internal injury, right?
No, here's the deal. Hurdy-gurdy is a second cousin twice removed of the hokey-pokey. So it all goes back to roller skating back when it was wooden floors and not that hard surface where you could really hurt yourself.
That's right.
Hurdy-gurdy. Can you tell us what that is? Or is that giveaway?
You had it last week and it was
repeat the question real quick.
I can tell you what it is.
Yeah, I'm curious. It was an instrument.
Oh, that's right.
It was an instrument.
From the medieval era.
Yeah.
I think. There was an era called medieval. You know that.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the question, though, related to the hurdy-gurdy?
There was a famous movie that someone played the hurdy-gurdy in, and I want the name of the movie and the name of the actor that played it.
Oh, they played that instrument. Okay, I'm clear now.
Oh, man, there's been so many movies.
Where they played a hurdy-gurdy.
Hurdy-gurdy, it's just hard to pick one. You know what I'm saying? Harrison Ford, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
That guy could forever more.
That was in one of those Indiana Jones movies.
He was hurdy-gurdy.
Where they were
trying to find the volcano.
Started playing the
hurdy-gurdy.
Yeah.
And then those Indians came up and saved him. You remember that?
Yeah.
And then the SEALs came and pulled him away into the ocean.
And not the Navy SEALs either.
No.
These are real SEALs.
I don't know. Hurdy-gurdy, I don't know, fellas.
I think we're stumped.
Yeah, that's the answer. Got us. Johnny?
The movie was Captain's Courageous, and the actor was Spencer Tracy.
Spencer Tracy played the hurdy-gurdy?
Yep.
Now, Spencer Tracy, you're talking 40s here, right? Maybe. 40s, 50s?
Yeah, probably yeah, 40s and 50s.
Late 40s, early 50s, somewhere in there.
Black and white.
He did play in some movies in the 60s because he played in a very famous movie at the time, probably 67, 68, Look Who's Coming to Dinner.
Mm-hmm. What was that about?
Sidney Poitier. It was a kind of racial thing where Spencer Tracy and his wife, I forget who, maybe Katharine Hepburn, I don't know, but their daughter came home with Sidney Poitier, who is black, for dinner. And it was all about, you know, racial things. So anyway, that was in the 60s, but he was mostly in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
And
all right. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Appreciate
thanks,
it, man.
Have a great week.
Stay on the phone. We'll get your line. Address.
We're going to put you on hold, Johnny. Sandy will get your information. She'll misspell your name probably, but she will get your information.
That was unnecessary.
I'm just welcoming her to the program.
Yeah, unnecessary slap.
All right. Let's go to Texas. And Dirk is on the line. Dirk, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Good to talk to you guys finally.
Well, thank you, Dirk. Where are you calling from in Texas?
Waco, or some people call it Waco, Texas.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes, been there many times, as has JJ.
Howdy.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, howdy.
Dirk, you want to ask
him? Oh, my aunt who used to live in Houston told me when I was moving here, she says, well, you better get used to riding horses. I guess she thought it was pretty backwoods here, but it's a nice city. I like it.
It is a nice city. Yeah, you got Baylor, and you got the Dr. Pepper, where that was invented. You got a lot of good stuff there. The Texas Ranger Museum, whole lot happening there. Hey, you want to ask, answer, or do both, Dirk?
I think I'll do both. Tim had a question about house pets.
Oh,
yes, I sure did. Here's the question.
Going to find out more about canaries.
The most popular pets in the U.S. are, number one, dogs. That's no surprise. No surprise. Number two, cats. But now we come to what is the third most popular pet or pet category, you could say, I guess, in the United States of America. What is the answer to that?
I would say it's birds.
Birds are number five. Birds.
Wow.
Yeah, 6.1 million American households do have birds, like what, like parakeets
and canaries, things like that. A lot of our listeners that work in the coal mine, and it's kind of having a pet and a safety
take it home
measure.
With you?
Yeah. Well, OSHA.
So you pack a lunch and pack
that's
a lunch.
Right. That's right. It's
pack
safety
pack what?
And having a canary.
Yeah, because if you don't have a like a radon detector or smoke detector,
that's right.
You just have your parakeet.
Canary.
Canary, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's, so it's kind of a dual purpose. You got a sweet little pet and OSHA approved.
Yeah, and if the canary falls over, you got problems.
Yes, you do.
Go ahead. So that you missed it, but you made a good guess.
That's right. You made it easy for the next person. Dirk.
Birds are number five. Dogs number one. Cats number two. Birds number five. Okay, go ahead. What's your question for us?
All righty. So the average atmospheric pressure at sea level is what per square inch on the human? So the weight of the atmosphere on our bodies.
29.92.
I'm going to guess 18,000 foot-pounds.
Okay. Is that y'all's final answer?
That paid off.
29.92 or 29.96.
Well, I'll tell you what, if y'all would have more meaningful conversations with your wives about such matters.
Okay.
Like Allison and I were talking about this.
Straighten us out, man.
We were talking about this at dinner, I guess Monday night.
What'd you come up with?
What Dirk's talking about here. And... Dirk, what was that second part of the equation?
So,
I'll make sure I'm factoring.
JJ mentioned 29.92. I think he's talking about inches, right? I wanted to know pounds per square inch.
Oh, okay. You know? I've got inches, barometric pressure at sea level.
I
said the aviator.
I asked what the second part of the equation was, Dirk. Did you get back to that? What is that, sir?
The average atmospheric pressure at sea level is.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In pounds per square inch.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm doing the math, and we're going to take a short time out right here, and I'll have your answer when we get back, okay?
Okay.
You got to keep him over?
We'll be right back.
Hold on there, Dirk.
This June 24th marks 3 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned. But here's what you may not know. Abortion numbers have surged to a 10-year high. The battleground has shifted from the courtroom to our homes. Today, over 60% of abortions happen through the abortion pill, taken in silence, often alone. Preborn network clinics are standing in the gap, meeting women in their most desperate hour. And here's what they're seeing. Young mothers, terrified and misled, are delivering their babies, tiny, perfectly formed, onto bathroom floors. These precious babies, once called just tissue, now lie lifeless. 11% of these women who take the abortion pill will suffer serious health complications. Countless others carry emotional scars for a lifetime. When you give to Preborn, you're not just saving a baby, you're saving a mother, too. You're giving her hope, financial support, and the truth. Preborn has already rescued over 350,000 babies, but there are so many more who need our help. Your tax-deductible gift makes this mission possible. To donate now, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Yogi Bear is smarter than the average bear. Yogi Bear is always in the ranger's hair. At a picnic table, you will find him there. Stuffing down more goodies than the average bear. He will sleep till noon, but before it's dark, he'll have every picnic basket that's in Jelly's park. Yogi has it better than a millionaire. That's because he's smarter than the average bear.
All right. That's from the Academy Award-winning cartoon series.
Academy Award-winning?
Yogi Bear.
Yeah.
Who had some stellar
lines. Yay, boo-boo.
There you go, Ed.
All right, so Dirk is on the line with us from Texas, and when we went to break, Dirk had asked, Dirk, give us a question and the answer, please, sir.
So the question was, what is the average atmospheric pressure in pounds per square inch? At sea level.
Yeah, Tim was working on the math on that, but his slide rule broke, and he was unable to come up with the full answer.
I was almost there. I don't know. Somebody interrupted me, which happens
a lot.
You have
to use an abacus to get the right answer, right?
That's right. He's counting on his fingers, but then when he started taking his socks off, things kind of all protested.
Yeah, we just said it's over.
All right, Dirk, what's the answer?
That's a little awkward. It is 14.7 pounds per square inch.
14.7.
And it's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting. You know, that God knew the pressure that was going to be put down on our body, so He made us able to withstand that pressure. Otherwise, we would explode.
Isn't that amazing?
I've seen people that happened to them, Dirk. Usually, it's at an all-you-can-eat buffet.
They imploded.
It's kind of, it put a real damper on the rest of my wife and I, our date.
I can understand that. Yeah. You know, you should get a free meal when that happens. You know what I'm saying? You have to endure that.
You should. And, you know, some people just need to put the fork away, you
people
know?
People realize if you come up too fast from a buffet, sometimes you get the bins.
All right, thank you, Dirk. Appreciate it, my friend. Dirk calling from Texas here.
You think that made the scuba diver smile?
I think so. Made me smile.
Get the bins?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. So let's go ahead and...
reset our question.
Yeah, I think we need to. Just reset our questions.
All right, here are my three. I haven't even gotten anybody taking a shot at these, but the famous 1932...
Tim, how do you go, and it's loaded with sarcasm?
I didn't say anything.
Because we've known him for 30 years. All he did was go, and we just
I know exactly what he was thinking.
Acres of sarcasm.
The famous 1932 movie, The Mummy, starring Boris Karloff, was inspired by the opening of the tomb of what Egyptian pharaoh? When you hear the answer, you're going to go, that's incredibly easy. Second of all, and I thought about this because I started with The Mummy, and so I got this information. The famous vampire novel Dracula was written in 1897. Who wrote it? And then third question, if you engage in sternutation, what are you doing? If you engage in sternutation, what are you doing? All of us have done it.
And you get what you deserve.
And you
do. What I'm saying.
That's right.
All right, here's what I've got. First question, true or false, in 2018, Judge Judy was the highest paid TV host. Is that true or false? 2018, Judge Judy was the highest paid TV host, true or false? Uh-huh. Second question, what decade was the first Super Bowl played?
Oh, good.
Which decade was the first Super Bowl played? Third question, Phoebe Ann Mosey changed her name after she became a famous Wild West sharpshooter. Which name do we know her by?
Well,
Phoebe and what now?
Phoebe Ann Mosey. That's not going to mean a lot to you, but she became a very famous, legendary Wild West sharpshooter. So what's the name that we know her
well, by? Whatever it was she picked, it was an improvement.
Then Phoebe and Mosley.
Phoebe and Mosley, that's like a purse. Yeah. You know, like couch.
One of those Phoebe Mosley.
Oh, no, it's coach. Purses. Sorry, couch. Where did I get that from? Coach purse. You got your Phoebe and Moses purse.
Not Moses.
Mosey. Phoebe and
like
Mosey.
Like the song, Ring Around the
or
Moses.
Maybe like furniture. Doesn't it sound like a furniture store? Hey, let's go down to Phoebe and Moses.
Somebody out
Mosey.
There. Not Moses. Somebody out there is named Phoebe and Mosey.
Get a reaction out of you.
And you got it.
All right. Trivia Friday it is on American Family Radio. My questions are as follows. Here we go. Most popular pets in the U.S. are dogs, cats, birds. Dogs being one, cats being two, birds being five. What's number three?
Which one's ruled out?
Dogs, cats, and birds.
No, the one that he gave the answer that it wasn't.
Oh, he said birds.
Oh, that was birds. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he said birds. I thought
it might be small people, but that's probably not.
Short people
legal.
Got no reason to
it's
live.
Probably not legal.
You know what I'm saying?
It's keep short people.
You keep
from
short
yes. people. Short people got no reason to live.
That's an old song, by the way, folks. For some of you, Tim's not making a moral judgment. That's a
no,
old
I'm
song.
Not. And what's short, really?
I mean, exactly. It's relative. It's all relative.
5'3" is somebody's 4'11". You're looking down on them, right?
Yeah.
Saying well, you're I'm short. With you. You're short. All right. So here is my second question. Chicken. The four top meats in America that we consume are chicken, beef, pork, and fish. Clearly, that's like 99% of, well, maybe not that, but 90 to 95% of all meat consumed in the country are going to be chicken, beef, pork, and fish. I want to know what the next one is. What's number five?
That's a great question.
Most consumed beef. And finally, it's summertime in this here country, and I want to know there's one particular major American city that is the hottest place by temperature average.
Hotter than Blue Blazes? Hotter than the 4th of July?
I don't know. Blue Blazes, Oklahoma is not
That's
far
pretty
behind.
Hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
This city, it's not an obscure place. It's a major city, and they are the hottest city in the summer.
Wow.
By temperature. And
all right, I'm writing it down,
okay.
Ed, so I can say
so
I,
let's
I
go.
Do it.
All right, we go to Missouri, and Gary is on the line. Gary, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hello there.
Hey, Gary, thanks for calling, my friend. Where do you live in Missouri?
Oh,
I don't live in any town. I live between some towns by Ironton, Missouri.
Yeah, Irons. That was only one. In order to be between, you need two. So if you
this is a rough crowd, Gary.
You could give us the other town, but Gary, that'd be
you
helpful.
You can triangulate.
Okay, Lesterville.
All right. There
okay.
we go.
We know exactly
we know
where
you are.
Right near the Dollar General, I'm
all
guessing.
Right. Give us one more that we might recognize.
Bellevue?
Park Hills?
Bellevue, he said, I think.
Little Bellevue.
Park Hills is about 30 miles away.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Good, Tim. I thought you were just making one up.
Well, that's where our station is. So trying to.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Gary, go ahead. Ask, answer, or both?
I want to do both.
All right. Which one do you want to answer?
The Dracula.
All right. Here we go, Ed. Gary. The famous. From the world of literature. The famous vampire novel Dracula was written in 1897. Who wrote it?
I believe that was Bram Stoker.
It is Bram Stoker. Nicely done, Gary.
And that was a
huge hit.
Yeah, it goes on even until today. I mean, you know, its popularity
influenced all kinds of entertainment novels and so forth. I didn't realize it was 1897 when I looked up.
That had longevity.
Did you read it, Gary?
I've got the movie.
Yeah. Okay.
But the movie based on the novel, right?
Bela Lugosi.
Right. I've got my hand covering my neck. I'm not superstitious or anything. It's just that movie really did have an impact.
Impact on you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, well done, Gary. Good for you. What's your question for us?
Okay. In the movie The Ten Commandments, starring Charlton Heston, what was the very first scene filmed?
Oh, you mean when they did the filming of it?
I'm going to say crossing the Red Sea, and just a guess. Got everybody together and just said, let's do this and knock this one out first.
Probably maybe because it would have taken time, too, to do the special effects after
the fact. To post-production. Yeah, and that's just a guess.
That makes sense. Tim, you got to...
I know you're still working on that. I just know that's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
It was really avant-garde. It was really cutting edge for the special effects in that day.
I watched that just this past Easter. All right.
I wish it was longer. What was the one about with Antebellum Home?
Gone with the Wind.
I wish those two were a little longer. I think they could have said more and had more impact if they were both just a little longer.
Gary, I'm going with JJ's guess.
That's incorrect.
Okay.
The very first scene filmed was when Charlton Heston came off of Mount Sinai.
Oh, that's a good place to start.
All right.
And I read that in Charlton Heston's autobiography called In the Arena.
Okay.
Gary, I heard a little thing where it says, you know you're not reading the Bible enough. And it said, because you were disappointed that Charlton Heston wasn't in the table of contents.
Well, a lot of people for a long time that they when they thought of Moses, they thought of Charlton Heston.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for listening to AFR. What's your... that was your question for us. Thanks, Gary. Have a great weekend.
All right, we go to Oklahoma, and Todd is on the line. Todd, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thanks, distinguished scholars.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
Yes, thank you for your honesty.
We don't like to draw attention to ourselves.
Yeah, I do want to be honest. I am a first-time caller. But I'm not a first-time attempter. I'm about a trillion-time attempter.
Oh, wow. Well, you're still legal.
You've given other people hope. Yeah. Hey, Todd,
don't blow it, though.
What part, you know what, what part of the Sooner state?
I am at the heart, a little town called Norman, Oklahoma, where we've got a football team you might have heard of.
We know Norman.
University of Oklahoma right there in Norman, Oklahoma.
Great area.
So how many games is Oklahoma going to win this season? They play 12. How many are they going to win? 10?
They don't call me to those meetings. I miss that memo.
All right.
One thing you got to make sure on your sheet is my name is spelled with two D's.
Oh, yeah.
And the first D's silent, so...
Thirsty silent. Bada boom.
Yeah,
I like
it works.
It. I like it.
I'm thinking of a silent P at the front. It worked for Ptolemy.
Yeah, yes, well, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of words in the English language that we don't have to have those letters, but we put them in there anyway.
I know. Right.
Yeah. So I saw somebody that said they hadn't gotten a lot done. They said, today I've been as useless as the G in lasagna.
Well, go ahead, Todd. Ask, answer, or both? Go ahead.
I'm going to do both.
All right. Which one do you want to answer?
I'm going to do that Super Bowl question. That just jumped out at me.
Okay. Bring it, JJ.
Here we go. Which decade was the first Super Bowl played, Todd?
It was played in the seventh decade of the 20th century.
Wow. Now, that's a – how about like
– is that 1960s or 70s?
Well, you can do the math.
I mean, we can't. You're talking the three amigos.
He's right.
I didn't like that attitude right there.
He's right.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, Todd.
I just use my slide. I use my slide rule, and he's correct.
Well, I got my shoes off, so that's how I did it.
Right, right.
Yes. 70s.
It was
60s.
60s. Yeah.
New York.
But the seventh
Jets
decade.
Was it New York Jets and somebody?
No, it was the first two, Green Bay Packers against the Chiefs, and then the Green Bay Packers against the Oakland Raiders. And then the third game was Jets-Colts.
Okay.
Both yeah, the so the first decade first Super Bowl played in the 1960s. Hey, nicely done, Todd. What's your question for us?
My question is, you asked about the author of Dracula. Who was the author of Frankenstein?
Oh,
yeah, that was good.
You know, those two, for a while, you just had King Kong, Dracula, and Frankenstein, and that was just about it. If you don't count the monsters that were under your bed, those were the three that kind of kept people up at night.
Frankenstein, you can
Mary Shelley.
Frankenstein, though, you can hear him coming. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, those big
I wasn't scared of him at all.
Those big, heavy boots.
Yeah, your hands stuck out, and, you know, you're hitting walls and stuff. Yeah, you take a cat who can turn into a
bat.
A bat
that can fly
around
through your window.
That's what
there
you should be worried about
corner.
Right there.
You should be.
Am I right?
Yo, yeah. No, you're right.
But he's talking about
Mary Shelley.
Todd's asking. Yeah.
Oh,
you know
Mary
the answer.
Mary Shelley. Okay.
You make me laugh.
Mary Shelley. Okay.
Mary Shelley. That's who. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of mushrooms was she eating while she was at her royal typewriter?
Well, actually, that
Thank
was.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that was actually Mary Shelley wrote that. There was a group of writers who were vacationing together. This is in England somewhere. In a home.
Like chalet, probably.
Chalet or something like that. And they were trying to decide about ghost stories. And they said, all right, we're all going to go our separate ways. And whoever can come up with the scariest book by the end of our vacation. And they all once, and I forget, there were some well-known writers. And Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein, like, over several
over
days.
A weekend or whatever. Yep. Wow.
And they all said that's the best.
One
of
the
bunch.
Funniest line, and I don't remember everything about this movie, so there's probably some parts I don't remember that I wouldn't, but young Frankenstein, when the hunchback, what's his name, the actor?
What was it,
Marty Feldman?
Marty Feldman.
And he's explaining to Gene Wilder,
yeah,
who's Dr. Frankenstein, right?
Yes.
The movie, right? Where he got the brain from?
Yes.
That scene where he's explaining to him where he got the brain. Where did you get the brain? You went to the – no, he went to the – he was told him you go down to the some kind of
– laboratory or something.
Well, it's where dead people are.
Okay.
The morgue.
You know, morgue, I think. You go down there and you get me a brain because I need a brain for this creation. And he goes – brings it back, puts a – and then the Frankenstein monster wakes up acting – absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And he says, where did you get the brain? What was the, he goes, at the morgue or whatever. Well, what was the name on it? Whose brain did you get? And he goes, Abby.
Abby.
He goes, Abby who? It was Abby Normal.
Yes.
Abby Normal. So he
abnormal
put,
brain.
He put an abnormal brain in the monster anyway.
Now, in our defense, like I saw that in high school or something. So it's a
Young
long
Frankenstein?
Time ago. Yeah, so it's a long time ago. So, folks, we are not saying it's
endorsing
it. Yeah, don't go out and rent it without doing your own review because yeah. I don't remember everything that was in there. Anyway.
In fact, if you're thinking about going to Blockbuster to rent it, they're not even going to be
open.
I just
told somebody renting the movie for the family and then going, hey, those guys on AFR told us to watch this.
That's way long ago.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Well, that's actually Trivia Friday, also known as
Learning University.
Let's repeat our questions, guys.
All right, the famous 1932 movie The Mummy, starring Boris Karloff, was inspired by the opening of the tomb of what Egyptian pharaoh? Second question, if you engage in sternutation, what are you doing? And just as a hint, we all do this. And then I'll add a question, on what continent will you find the Atlas Mountains? On what continent will you find the Atlas Mountains? That's
here's
all I've got.
Here's what I've got. First question, true or false. In 2018, Judge Judy was the highest paid TV host. Is that true or false? Second question, Phoebe Ann Mosey changed her name after she became a famous Wild West sharpshooter. Which name do we know her by today?
Her stage name?
Yeah, stage name. And then I'm going to add one. It's a little bit tougher. Miami, Florida sits on the bank of what bay? Miami, Florida sits on the bank of what bay?
All right, here are my three questions. Number one is the most popular pets in the U.S. are number one, dogs. Number two, cats. What's number three? That's my question. What's the third most popular pet in the U.S.? Birds were, I guess, by one of our earlier callers, and birds are actually number five. So we have one, two, and five. What's number three? Most popular pet in the U.S.? My second question, the four most consumed meats in America are chicken, beef, pork, and fish. That would include shellfish. What is the fifth most consumed meat in the United States? And my last question is, in the summertime, this major city has the highest average temperature. What city is it? And I'm talking about, again, in the U.S. Okay?
Gotcha.
That makes sense?
Yes, it does.
Back to the phones.
All right, we go to Georgia, and Lisa is on the line. Lisa, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey there. What's up?
Well, it's a Friday. We're having fun. We're learning a few things. Where do you live in Georgia, Lisa?
Warner Robins, Georgia,
In
the middle of the state.
Oh, yeah. I was just in Atlanta Monday and Tuesday. You got a beautiful state. Hey, Lisa, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'll do both.
Which one you want to answer?
I want to answer the one about the hottest city, major city.
Okay. The In the summertime, this major city has the highest average temperature. It's almost always cited as it's this hot in this city. What city has the highest average temperature in the summertime?
Would it be Phoenix?
Phoenix, Arizona. You got that right.
What I have written down there.
You got it.
All right, listen. I think I got this right now. The average temperature, I'm talking about a 24/7. I'm talking about a 24-hour clock.
Right.
Okay, 24-hour clock. Right. The average temperature in Phoenix, Arizona, in the summertime, June, July, August, is 93.7 degrees.
Oh, that's the average.
Good.
The average. So at night, you might be getting down to 88. 87, I guess.
Well, and how many times do you have to go triple digits to be a 93 average?
Right. Well, now I'll say this. My wife and I lived in Scottsdale, which is right next door to Phoenix, for about 3 years. And it wasn't anything for it to be 30 days in a row over 100 degrees or even 110.
Right.
Wow.
It was hot.
How'd you know that, Lisa?
I just guessed about, you know, being in the desert and everything. I thought that's probably it. And then I looked it up to just be sure.
Good.
Yeah. And did you, 93.7 is what I got on the average temperature.
Wow.
That's just crazy.
That's crazy.
Good job.
So, yeah, good job. So, what's your question for us, Lisa?
Well, I was wondering if you all would know the name of the Naval Academy bandmaster who wrote Anchors Away, the United States Navy song.
Which is a great song.
It is. I like it.
Great song. Maybe next week we can play that during our break. Anchors Away. Who wrote Anchors Away? I don't know the answer to that. Do you guys know the answer to that?
Not even a good guess. Either.
Is it going to – it might be – who's that guy who Barry wrote Manilow, all those
Barry
marches?
Manilow.
Barry Manilow.
No, Barry Manilow. Well, you laugh. He wrote a lot of big songs back then.
Yes, he did.
I wish I remembered his name, because not only did he write that, he also wrote 100 bottles of
yeah.
Of
beer
Dr.
on the wall.
Pepper on the wall.
Dr. Pepper.
That was anyway,
well, there was some guy who wrote a bunch of marches.
Maybe it's this guy.
And I just can't think of his
name.
Let's
find out. Lisa, what's the answer?
Lieutenant Charles Zimmerman in 1906.
That's
he wrote
not who
it.
I was thinking about.
Are you related to him?
No, I'm not, but my dad was in the Navy.
I wonder what the Naval connection was.
That's good.
Your dad was in the Navy?
Yes, he was.
We're thankful for
his
service.
I'll tell you what we'll do here. Lisa, when we get back from the break in 4 or 5 minutes, we will play at least the first part of the Anchors Away song.
In honor of your dad.
Yeah, yeah. And all those who served in the Navy.
Amen. Good.
Okay, Lisa?
Thanks. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening to AFR. Have a wonderful weekend.
Hey, we're going to send you a hat. We're going to send you a ball cap, okay? An AFR ball cap. Just so hold on.
I'm
going
to put you on hold.
Yeah, hold on. We need to get your address, okay? All right. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.